episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Hitman.
The Schlong.
The Hitman.
The Hitman. I was a Hitman earlier in the year.
You could be a Hitman in these episodes of these films of the character we're doing.
Pull the trigger, yeah. Drop the gun, walk away.
25 films in this series so far. You could be a Hitman in one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they always have room for...
You could be the guy with the hat, and he throws it, and it cuts their heads off.
The flying guillotine, you mean?
Yeah.
From the Kung Fu movies?
Yep.
You ever seen one of those? The flying guillotine?
I think I have.
Old school martial arts movies.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bell-shaped metal thing, mm-hmm. and it's attached to a long chain. So they throw this thing, and it lands on someone's head, and then they pull it, and it decapitates them.
Oh!
It's awesome.
The flying guillotine.
We have become a... When did we become a whiskey drinking podcast the last few weeks?
Hey, no one knows we've been drinking whiskey.
The second time in a row.
Yeah. Hey.
No, well, the Dread episode.
That Dread episode and now, turned so out really good.
Yeah. Hey.
It turned out well.
More whiskey episodes. Equals more entertainment.
How are you fellas this week?
Feeling randy, baby.
You've been dressed as a polar bear a lot this week.
Dude, a lot. Nice. I've been a polar bear for 5 days. 5 days I've been a polar bear.
I'm sorry. So you have like little kids grabbing onto you and touching places you don't want to be touched?
And then there's like women that are like, polar bear. And some of them are cute and some of them are like old women. Like this old woman put their hand on my butt. You know, this old woman trying to cop a feel with the polar bear ass. Shit, yeah, like, maybe.
Some of that furry polar bear any penis.
Any Santa Clauses?
I did.
Santa Claus didn't grab your butt.
No, Santa Claus didn't. You know, he told me I was a very naughty boy and that, you know, I needed to get into his sack or whatever.
Who's one of these polar bears?
No, but it's, you know, it's for the kids and, you know, it's been fun, but...
It's the season.
You're right now dressed as an elf.
Yes, I'm an elf now. You know, like Will Ferrell. Coca-Cola elf. But yeah, it's for the kids. They loved it. I wish I could have been dressed as like... Paul Stanley from Kiss or something like that. That would have been much cooler.
Yeah, kids probably ran away from that.
Probably. Some kids ran away from the polar bear suit.
Man, dude, like, think about this, though. These mascots that are dressed up or mm-hmm. Back in the day at Astroworld or McDonald's used to have the characters, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of fucking creepy looking. The eyes don't move or nothing. There's just like this guy walking in a suit and the suit's real stiff. But it's like the... It's sort of like cosplay in a way.
Don't talk about Grimace.
But it's
Grimace.
It's a little scary, man. My little sister didn't like those things when she was little. She would run from them, you know?
Yeah.
They're a little creepy looking. I imagine you and
even the Hamburglar?
Yeah, the Hamburglar.
Hamburglar was creepy looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they can even get away with that now. With a guy who steals your burgers. It would probably be un-PC.
You think?
Yeah.
Stealing from hunger?
No, I don't know. McDonald's should bring those back. Those were cool.
Those were cool.
You could have a birthday party at McDonald's and one of them would show up.
Yeah, you could.
Pick like which one you wanted to come
mm-hmm.
for the birthday party and stuff.
No one cares. Let's just move on.
Oh, wow.
I'm joking.
Someone burned him.
Being drunk.
Someone stole his Happy Meal when it was a kid.
Yeah, you get bitter against fucking McDonald's.
I love McDonald's.
There we go. Me too.
Don't be talking smack about it.
My week's been okay.
I got pneumonia once in one of their jungle gym.
Ouch.
Back in the day, remember when they start bringing out the ball pits?
Yeah.
You know, in the old school ones? I remember I jumped in one, and then I got dog sick after that.
Ugh. Yeah. People pee in
so
there.
So you not go to McDonald's for years?
No, I still go to McDonald's. Yeah. I keep it real.
That's right. That,
like,
real talk.
You remember Blimpy sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Like, I got sick of the Blimpies once, and I would not eat, like a few weeks ago, us guys went out. We went to Jimmy John's, right?
Yeah.
I would not go to those kind of sandwich shops for years. Like Subway, none of it. Because of Blimpies made me sick.
Yeah.
Not because of Jared?
I finally got over it and I went. Because I always felt like I would walk in those places, I would see that food sitting out, and I would feel like, oh, there's no way this food is good.
Yeah. Wow.
Just because I got sick one time. But yet I could go to a buffet and eat it like a motherfucker and not even think twice about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's all in your mind, I guess.
Yeah. My preferred sub shop is Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Last Sunday, I ordered a giant sandwich. Which is about 14 inches.
Wow.
They cut it in 4 pieces. It was that big. And I told them, do it Mike's way, which is they drench it in oil and vinegar.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't know why. And it just, some of the best meals I've had.
Nice.
Not good for the heart, but still.
But it tastes good going down.
Not good for the heart, but good for the fart.
How can something that tastes so good be so bad to you? No.
It's always way worse.
It's just not fair. But, it's not fair, man.
It's not fair.
Why does something that tastes so good always is always bad for you? It's not right.
Unfortunately.
But as we go into December, it is Christmas season, of course. This is, I guess, our first official show in December, because last week we recorded a couple days before December 1st.
Correct. And,
so we want tis the season. We want people to give to us a little bit, if they don't mind. We'd like them to join our Patreon. We're continuing our Patreon launch drive, so we can start launching in January with our monthly bonus episodes for anyone that joins Patreon. So go to therebelradiopodcast.com and hit that little Patreon button and join. $2, $5, or $15, and we would really appreciate it. So we can start dropping those exclusive episodes to you in January of 2020. Mm-hmm. A monthly exclusive episode just for you guys who join Patreon. We have 3 members so far.
Support us and we'll support you with our content.
That's right. And not just monthly bonus episodes. You're going to get some other cool stuff too. Mark's brain is working for special content in the year 2020. 2020, the year the Rebel Radio Podcast takes it back.
That's right.
You know,
that's take it back.
But no, in all seriousness, though, we really appreciate people that join the Patreon because it really helps us out a lot. It helps cut some of our cost as far as bringing you the show every year and every week. And we've a lot of great things coming. We have our 100th film coming up with episode 181. So special thanks planned for that. And we are going to hit 200 episodes in 2020.
That's crazy.
Which is going to be a huge special episode. And of course, Comicpalooza 2020 is just around the corner as well. And hopefully more live shows at Misfit Toys and things like that. So the Rebel Radio Podcast is not stopping anytime soon. We are going stronger than ever.
I'm excited. I can't believe it's been 200 episodes already.
I can't believe I went this whole year.
Six years of recording?
Yeah.
Show. I can't believe I went a whole year without missing an episode.
Yeah. That's even awesome, Matt missed a couple this year.
Yeah.
You did not.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Sneaking up on you, Mark. Watch out with your streak.
That's right. I have been on all 175 episodes. Today is episode 175. 175 is kind of like in the comic books and stuff. We used to read comics.
Yeah.
Like every 25 episodes or 25 issues was always a milestone. So 175 is kind of a milestone.
You know, it'll be kind of fun. I do have equipment to record at home.
Yeah.
So if you're ever sick, you can always tell me that, hey, Long, can you record at home at your place? And then I'll upload you a file.
See, I just tough it up. Yeah, I just lift my balls up.
And I don't I'll be want like, your shit.
I thought you said you tucked them back.
Pneumonia or your gonorrhea spreading too.
Gonorrhea.
If I'll give you gonorrhea, we got problems.
Or your chlamydia.
The clap.
And
yeah.
So on that note, let's get into today's show with some clap action. Man, this whiskey
is doing wonders.
We always start the show officially with Download This, where we tell you people what we watch, streamed, video games we played, checked out that week, possibly saw in the theaters if there was a chance, and it consumed into our brains new, sometimes old things that we enjoy watching.
Yes.
So what did you guys, right now during Download This, we always have our weekly Mandalorian recap, which we'll get to in just a minute, but what did you guys check out this week and watch?
I'll go first, just real short. I downloaded Destiny 2's expansion Shadowkeep, and I played that for a little bit, and me and my son hit it up. It, you know, it grew our characters a little bit more. It's not as exciting as I thought it was, but you know, it's still pretty cool. I paid like $40 for the expansion. It was a little bit much for me.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, I would have rather had Whataburger for like 4 days.
You text me today, like, you have an Xbox One, right?
I do.
Me and Longer PS4 guys, and so you have to get a game, you have to buy it for your son to justify buying it?
Yeah, so...
That's sad, I'm sorry.
Well,
in order to buy a new game, he has to say it's for his son to justify buying it through his wife. That's sad. But yet, our boy here brings home the bacon.
Well, I bought stuff for my... Like, I got a radio for the truck, the SUV, and then I'm going to get some exhaust put on it on Monday, so I couldn't get the game because then it would be
It's like, what, you bring out the bank, you buy where the fuck
because it the game that we're talking about is Fallen Order, And so I remember you texted me, you're like, man, that makes me want to get it. You see you get it. I said, well, I had to pass it off as Jake's present. I'll get to play it, of course, but he was pretty interested in it. So that's going to be his present from Santa. And I was like, that's kind of how I had to sell it.
It's an expensive present from Santa.
$50. I was like, I feel like I have to get like, you know, like a $40 or $50 present from Santa, and then we get him like a $10 gift that kind of goes with it, and that's how we kind of do it. And then, you know, the stocking's full of candy, basically, or random stuff, like maybe one of those little Lego things. It's just a person. You get it for like a dollar. I got him I found a Destiny ghost character at Walmart one time. You know, sometimes they have like Call of Duty characters or Overwatch characters, and they're like $20. This one was marked down for $5. So he's gonna have a pretty good Christmas. I found some stuff, and I got some good deals, and getting income tax at the end of the year kind of helped out. We're gonna need it though, because baby number 4 is not cheap.
You got number 4 coming.
Yeah,
we should have done a Rebel Radio gift exchange.
Rebel Radio gift exchange. Oh, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, $10 and under.
You can't exchange us your baby.
Yeah, I know. Right, here you go.
It's only December 7th. What is it? The 7th, 8th? No, it's the 6th. Yeah.
Yeah.
We might have to discuss that after the show.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Maybe a whiskey exchange.
Well, I said $10 and under.
You can get a small bottle. The flask size.
So what else
size
did you watch this week or check out?
That's really it. That was it. Suck. I played Destiny and I downloaded the expansion. That's it.
Cool.
I bought Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but because of all these events, I haven't been able to watch it. So
I want to see that badly.
Disappointed. Yeah. You long?
I bought a game called Custom Order Made 3D2.
Mm-hmm.
And Google it.
And I forgot there. I thought he was going to say it. Custom Order Made Bride.
That's the name of the game.
No, I believe you. Never mind. You missed a joke.
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Mail Order Bride.
Mail Order Bride.
Which I'm about to resort to before being 10 years abstinent.
That's all you bought this week?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all slacking, motherfuckers.
Yeah, we've been slacking.
And I watched the Ghostbusters episode of the Movies That Made Us.
Oh, cool.
Spinoff from the Toys That Made Us.
Yeah.
It was actually really good. There were things there I didn't know about.
Just one episode?
Well, they did Ghostbusters, Die Hard, Dirty Dancing, and Home Alone are the 4 movies they picked for the first season.
Not impressed.
And, Ghostbusters is cool. You know, as a Ghostbuster fan, so that was cool. I'll probably watch the Die Hard one. Maybe Home Alone.
Matt will watch the Dirty Dancing.
I'm sorry. And Die Hard's still not a Christmas movie. I'm going to go on that as record. And
Target had it on sale in the holiday movie stacker.
That doesn't mean shit. It means it was on sale.
Agree to disagree.
But it's a spinoff of the Toys That Made Us. It's pretty cool. Goes behind the scenes of how these movies were made and what it took to bring them to screen and all that. There's something else I watched, and now I can't remember what it was. I've been watching The Irishman, but I'm going to talk about that next week because I haven't finished it yet. So I want to wait till I'm done watching it. So far, so really damn good.
Yeah.
Actually, very amazing acting-wise. It's really... I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know. It's just really well done. And I did watch Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, cool.
It held up, actually. I wasn't sure how Far From Home would hold up because Homecoming has grown on me more the more I watch it, but I thought Far From Home was still really good, even watching it a second time. I think it was a worthy follow-up to Avengers Endgame. I thought it was really good.
Good coda.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the way it ends. And that's the thing, rewatching it again, it made me realize I'm so glad that Sony and Marvel worked out their problems, because you can't end it like that and not do another one.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we have to know what happens now. So I really enjoyed it a second time watching it again. I thought it was really well done. So, but other than that, The Mandalorian, Episode 5, hit today. And, Matt, you know, you and I played a lot of Star Wars Galaxies back in the day. We already said that this show was like Star Wars Galaxies, but this episode was really like...
For real.
Star Wars Galaxies live action. I mean, so in this episode, The Mandalorian shows up in a very famous Star Wars location, Mos Eisley Spaceport. It was
interesting. What planet?
On Tatooine.
Tatooine.
And did you notice that Mos Eisley wasn't as busy?
No, it wasn't.
Empire. You notice that? I think they did that on purpose. They made it look like, you know, these towns are getting run down.
And you're missing another detail about that cantina.
Was that the...
Oh, the bartender wasn't there. It was a droid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is that a big deal? Remember what the original bartender said to Obi-Wan?
Droids, we don't serve your kind here. That's right. Even think
there
about that.
There you go.
Wow.
I was laughing at that. It's like, dude.
And replaced by a robot.
The Mandalorian shows up in Mos Eisley because he gets... The episode opens up with a space battle, which was really cool. Another fellow bounty hunter kind of going after him and everything. And he takes him out and he has the land for repairs. And
I like that scene, too. I can bring you in hot or I can bring you in cold. That's my line.
Dave
Filoni
wrote that episode.
Yeah. And directed it. Yeah. And it definitely had a Clone Wars feel to it, a Star Wars Galaxies feel. So he takes on a job, a non-guild job, because he's not really in the guild right now because of the previous episode. Where he kind of fucked the guild over.
Yeah.
So he takes on a job, and that's where it felt like Galaxies. And when you're a bounty hunter in Star Wars Galaxies, you had to go get a bounty and go after him. And this is pure Galaxies, man. They get speeder bikes. He goes with a rookie bounty hunter and wants his help, and they go after the actress from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. plays a bounty hunter in it, and they go after her. Yeah. And just really, this show continues to drop just really badass Star Wars moments in it. The music has really started to grow on me.
Because they keep adding instruments.
Yeah, the baby Yoda, the child as they call it, was a little bit less of a... He's more of a background character in this episode. But I think that's why I really liked it, because we got to see more of the Mandalorian in this and not so much focus on the baby Yoda. You know, to give him a little bit of a rest.
Yeah.
We got to see some pit droids from the prequels.
Yeah.
You know, they're larger than I remembered them.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I thought they were like chicken size, not toddler size.
But I just think walking around Mos Eisley, and this is the first time we've ever seen Mos Eisley since episode 4.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was really cool. Of course, everything goes right. The rookie bounty hunter tries to double cross him thanks to some influence from Ming Nao. How do you say her name?
Ming Nao Wen.
Ming Nao Wen, yeah. The rookie kills her, and he tries to turn the Mandalorian, but it doesn't work out so well for him.
Nope.
And the body of Ming's character is left there at the end, and we see a mysterious character walk up with spurs, which has the internet all of a buzz about who it is. A lot of talk that it could be Boba Fett. They might introduce Fett into the show. And I know everyone's like, well, didn't he go into the Sarlacc pit? Yeah, well, this is Star Wars, it's Boba Fett, people.
Yeah.
People can come back to life, you know.
I know who it is. I think it's Jabba the Hutt's Twi'lek manservant.
Twi'lek manservant.
Bib Fortuna?
Yeah.
Ooh, Bib Fortuna.
Could be interesting. Yeah.
just to curb your enthusiasm.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You just brought me down 10 levels long.
or the Rancor.
The Rancor Keeper?
Rancor. Yeah.
With hairy chest.
Nice.
But another really good episode, man. This show just keeps kicking ass. And then they announced that the episode 7 in 2 weeks is going to come out on Wednesday before The Rise of Skywalker.
Wow. Because
they want you to watch it before you go see. Somehow, I guess it may tie into Rise of Skywalker in some way. And then the next week after that is the season finale. So that's kind of cool.
Neat.
What did you guys think about the episode?
I liked it. For some reason, I think I liked it more than the last one.
I did like it more than last week's. I don't know if I liked it more than episode 3 where the Mandos fly in.
No.
That's still been the best moment of the show so far.
Episode 4, you know, the one with Cara Dune was kind of a disappointment. I let down a bit. Mainly because it felt like it was by the numbers to me. Or maybe it's because I've
seen it's a been there, before. Done that storyline, too.
Yeah. So, I felt a little flat. And the little romance seemed a little forced.
Yeah.
You know. But this one I liked more. You know that mechanic in this episode? I thought that was Tracy Ullman. Remember Tracy Ullman?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I thought that was her, but it's not. So,
she was good, though. She brought like a life to the episode in some ways. Yeah.
Yeah. B+.
Yeah. And the show is just...
I didn't like the rookie.
Yeah, that's my one thing. The rookie felt like he said... That's not too shabby, huh? I don't see him say the word shabby in the Star Wars universe. I thought that was a bit of a weak writing moment in the show, and for Filoni, who's usually really good with Star Wars. And he felt a little too, like, a little too just not sci-fi-ish enough.
Did Han say that, though?
Did Han ever say shabby?
Yeah, it was like something about not too shabby, huh? I think it was, like, after he rescued Luke.
Yeah.
He says, oh, that's not too shabby, huh?
He may have. Yeah, the rookie just felt like he didn't belong in the Star Wars universe. He felt like I should be watching him on a Fox TV show or something.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably one beef with the episode. But, you know, the show's not perfect, but it's still really good.
No. Yeah.
Just a small, minor
pick. Yeah, some minor thing. Overall, the show's really good. And it's cute. My daughter, every time she sees Yoda, she goes, Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. Yeah. That's really cute. I guess I'm doing parenting right.
You are, sir. Good job.
Well, you know, there's, even though I only mentioned the game that I've done and download this, I did watch a couple of animes, and it's about probably 3/4 of the way through now in the season, the fall season. There's just one anime I'm watching called Overly Cautious Hero. The hero is overly powerful, but he's extremely cautious. That's the new title.
OP.
Oh, he's OP, but he's extremely cautious. Yeah, so it's a comedy fantasy series. Mm. It's really good. It's about a guy, or it's about a goddess in this dimensional realm who transports in this uber powerful hero, and you know she's all like, "Yeah, let's go and save this world," and then the guy's like, "No, I need to train to prepare to fight." You know, it's always something, some kind of trope going on. But anyways, that's the anime I'm watching that I'm enjoying quite a bit this season. So, anyways. I didn't totally slack off.
There you go.
I mean, I'll forgive you now.
Yeah.
Can't forgive him.
But he was working.
I don't fucking care.
Yeah, he don't care.
Well, three
in a polar bear suit being molested by women.
Fuck. So not forgiving.
You're like, I will be the polar bear. Mark's.
He was a freaking furry.
Hey, me and Long will be the polar bear. It's more action we got lately.
He's a freaking furry.
Yeah. Basically.
Matt was a furry this week.
There you go.
Against his will. At least he got paid for it.
No. Well, he didn't get paid extra for it.
And my boss gave me a comp day. He's like, you can have a comp day. Just let me know
what
when.
What is that?
So, like, you know, you're supposed to have...
I know what it is.
Yeah.
I bet figuratively. I'm like, what is that going to do? What they do?
Yeah.
You're still fucking not getting the day off now. So, you know.
That's true.
But anyway. So let's get into today's feature film. Which is a favorite of Long's, classic Bond film.
Favorite Roger Moore.
Favorite Roger Moore, James Bond film. 1977? Yeah, 77. It's The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm.
From Lewis Gilbert, director. Starring Roger Moore. This is, was this Moore's first Bond? No.
No, it was his...
second or third,
Third going.
And this is a movie that I always remember... Jaws from this movie. That's what I remember from it. I can't remember the first time I saw this, probably on TV back in the 80s or 90s, and I remember the Jaws scene, and of course I remember the scene at the end of the film. It's the end of the film. This has one of the better ending sequences in a Bond film.
The last
20 minutes of this film are really exciting, and I think that's what I remember most about this film is that the beginning's really exciting, and the ending's really exciting, the middle is just kind of like...
All over the place a bit?
Yeah, a little bit all over the place. It's a bit long. Like they could cut out like 30 minutes of this film so easily.
Yeah.
And they could have made a tighter, slicker, better Bond film. But it's still a really good Bond film.
This Bond film had to make it because you had two new owners basically of this franchise, and this film had to perform better than the Golden Gun had performed overall. Even though it was a hit in the box office, it kind of fell off. And the opening sequence is awesome.
And that being said, though, it was a hit at the box office, but they to this day, they still worry about how Bond performs in England. And Bond had been dropping off in England, but going up in America at this time
when
they made this film.
Yeah, and so if you don't know, they went away from Blofeld. They were going to bring him back, but they decided to bring back Blofeld. Sorry,
Blofeld.
You know, the person who Dr. Evil is modeled after. Right. And so they go with this new guy, the webbed hands, Strasburg. Yeah, it sounds like a dessert. Mm-hmm. But they go with him. He's got this submarine submarine base, but this device that can control other submarines.
Cool design.
Yeah.
Cool design.
And he likes sharks with lasers on their heads. No, but he does like sharks. And he dumps people, just like in Austin Powers, into the water. He presses a button, and they get destroyed, or they fall into the shark water, and they get eaten. And so, yeah, I had to point out the Austin Powers references in here.
When I was watching it, I'm like, this is the movie that Matt's
gonna... You mean the Austin Powers inspirations?
Yes, the inspirations.
Yeah, because... Yes.
Yeah, because Austin Powers references this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, a lot of Roger Moore is Austin Powers' basis. Ooh, this is tough. I like Roger Moore because he's always, like, so smooth with the ladies. And he just, you know, he gets them in bed with them. And
he's almost... too smooth in this movie.
It's like
he's not afraid to say anything.
He's not.
Like, oh, well, I can warm you up, or I haven't had dessert. I'm just like, oh my God.
How about a nightcap in my room? And then the scene whenever he uses the woman as a shield.
This was the height of the sexual revolution.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, he, Strasberg has this submarine control device, and you have the Russians that are impacted.
Well, he stole nuclear weapons.
Stole nuclear weapons, too. The Russians, their submarines are being controlled, and the U.S., their submarines are being controlled. And they're going to, and they're going to attack each other and start World War III. So Bond and Triple X have to, not Vin Diesel.
Barbara Bach is so hot.
She is. Even though she doesn't.
She's one of the better Bond girls.
Yeah. Her boobs are built for speed, not for power.
But she's also a really good actress, and she's really strong in the role too.
Yeah,
she is a sexualized object.
Yeah,
but she's also really good.
Yeah, and she knows her stuff. Like, she corrects Bond a couple times in this film, and so they have to work together. Unknowingly, Bond killed her boyfriend, and so she finds out that Bond was there, and he confesses that he killed him, and she's like, after this mission's over, you're dead. So, of course, you know, she's left on Strasberg's ship with Jaws, and Roger Moore escapes, but then he's like, I'm coming back for her. James Bond escapes. Yeah. So he goes back, and he saves her, and they escape. He goes back to the underground ship, and he saves her after fighting Jaws, and they get out in this escape pod, which is huddled in by their comrades, their teammates, and it's the infamous scene where they're like doing stuff, and it's like, Bond, what are you doing? And he's like, improving our relations, basically. and then the curtains come down, and that's the ending of the, you know, of course, he saves the day. They save the day.
Not to mention that Jaws, Richard Kiel, fights a shark in this movie.
He does, and he beats the hell out of the shark.
It's awesome. He bites it into the shark,
I mean,
he kills the shark with his mouth.
Yes.
It's so awesome,
but so cheesy, too.
There's a guy even that sees Jaws and runs into this jail cell, and he's like, I'm going to lock myself in with this chain. And he just bites the chain, and the chain comes apart like it's licorice. Richard Kiel.
Well, they did use licorice for the chains.
Oh my God.
And the wiring.
Yeah.
And Richard Kiel actually could only wear those prosthetics for like 30 seconds at a time because it hurt his mouth so bad. And when he's supposed to be smiling and have this dark sense of humor, it's actually because he's hurting like hell.
Wow.
He hated it. Every moment of it. So they had to film him very quickly. And that's why most scenes his mouth is just closed because he didn't have anything in there. Mm-hmm. They didn't want you to realize his teeth weren't steel all the time.
And you know? I think it makes it more effective.
Yeah.
You know, it will make the audience anticipate it more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
But this is really cool. You have a Lotus. They have a Lotus in this vehicle.
Well, and this Bond was controversial for being a Bond film. When it came out, people were like, wait a minute, where's the Aston Martin? This was one of the first Bond films where they'd use something besides the Aston, you know?
Yeah, the Aston Martin or the, then it was the BMW whenever Pierce Brosnan was... was at the helm of the Bond franchise. But the Lotus was a nice touch. It's also spoofed, of course, in Austin Powers, the underwater car, which is really cool.
The Lotus is actually on display because it was sold to a private seller who donated to I can't remember where the museum is, but you can actually go see
the Spy Museum?
I think it is the Spy Museum.
That's the same where Jaws' jaws are. Yeah, that's really cool. I had never seen The Spy Who Loved Me. I knew the song, and but I never seen this man. The gun that's in the ski pole, that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then he jumps off the cliff, and then.
Well, and this is still to this day. This is still one of the top two or three opening sequences in any Bond film. It's ranked as like
hell
one of
the
highest ones because it's really cool.
Easily.
The
For your eyes,
the free well, the free running scene in Casino Royale is really famous. Yeah. I think one of the the opening sequence thing didn't really start until the Moore films, huh?
No, it started in the Connery.
But like three or four films in. The first two
on
or
the
three
third film.
Yeah, the first two or three didn't have too many. Yeah. Or you mean Goldfinger.
That's Goldfinger.
Right. Yeah. That's Goldfinger. Right, it did have the opening sequence thing. Yeah. Yeah. So
but yeah, and then the Union Jack parachute opens up, and I bought a pair of Union Jack underwear.
They made this
Disco
movie.
Influenced yeah. Bond theme.
Well, they made this movie.
Bam, 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 bam.
Well, they made this movie very, very British superhero like because they wanted, like I said, they wanted to start appealing to British audiences again.
Yeah,
and it worked. After this movie, they started viewing James Bond as like one of their heroes and stuff. And
Prince Charles,
he loved this film.
He gave it a standing ovation. Mm-hmm. And we talked earlier. I didn't realize Elvis saw this film 6 days before he died.
Wow.
So arguably saw one of the best Bond films ever before he died.
It was a huge hit, even in America and overseas. It made a lot of money. It put Bond back on the map. It helped Bond recover from its declining box office the last few years.
Yeah.
Of the film. And unfortunately, it didn't stay that way because they had planned on doing For Your Eyes Only next. But then Star Wars hit, and it was a really huge hit, so they wanted to put Bond in space. And they put Moonraker out. But Moonraker actually turned out to be a bigger box office hit than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it wasn't as well-received film.
Critically panned. But,
yeah, but made a lot of money.
Yeah. But, you know, I watched Moonraker recently.
It's enjoyable.
It is. Yes. It's not as bad as what people.
You have
made
to suspend your belief a little bit for it.
Yeah.
And honestly, the end of this film, the end of this film with Jaws fighting a shark, and Bond in this impossible situation in the submarine base, kind of the suspension belief kind of starts there, and this movie does kind of get credit for taking Bond into kind of silly territory.
Yeah.
You did this, you did Moonraker, and then you did some of those silly movies in the early 80s. Before Timothy Dalton came in. So this movie does kind of start that trend where Bond gets a little bit sillier, you know.
A lot of people like Dalton the most.
Well, he was very serious with the role.
But yeah.
But License to Kill is not a very good movie. It's probably the worst of all 25 Bond films.
Living Daylights is better than I remembered.
Yeah, Living Daylights is pretty good.
My mom, she's a Bond fan, and it's always like, Sean Connery's the best. No, I don't care, Sean Connery's the best. She hates Daniel Craig.
Really?
Yeah, I love Daniel.
I don't think you can hate Daniel Craig. I can understand if you think Sean Connery's the best.
She thinks he's ugly compared to Roger Moore, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I can kind of see it. Roger Moore does have the look.
Craig is gritty.
Yeah.
I can see that. He's grittier. He's a little more realistic, like a chiseled war veteran. Yeah, I can see that.
I think Craig has one of the best comedic scenes of the Bond films, and that's whenever Chekhov, he's like, to the left, you're gonna die scratching my bloody balls.
I didn't think it was that funny.
You don't think that was that funny?
No.
Really. I like Craig.
What a nice body.
We've got some Craig to talk about a little while.
Yeah, for sure.
The trailer. But,
you know, it's kind of funny we're doing this, the timing of it.
And the trailer hit?
Yeah.
That's why I texted y'all guys the other day. Isn't that good timing?
Yeah.
But, yeah. But no, The Spy Who Loved Me is definitely, like I said, I always remember watching the opening sequence and the ending sequence. I remember as a kid thinking how scary Jaws was.
Yeah.
You know, as an adult, he's not quite as scary as he was back then. And, you know, Richard Kiel, though, he did the role, and he, like, really, another one of those classic actors that it kind of bothered him playing a villain because he's like, I'm a really nice guy, you know? And he always was. If you ever saw Richard Kiel in any interviews, he was just like, the big old lovable giant. Just a super friendly, nice guy. You
know? I loved him in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore. He was in
Guns Don't Kill People, stuff, I Do.
Yeah. Very, very friendly guy, you know. And
The Longest Yard. He was in The Longest Yard.
Right, yeah. So he was in a couple of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah. So. Well, not that Longest Yard.
He was in the original.
Burt Reynolds' Longest Yard.
For some reason, I thought he was in the remake too.
He might have had a cameo.
A lot of people from the original were make cameos.
Yeah, they did.
Adam Sandler one, so he might have had a cameo in it. But and he also was almost played the Incredible Hulk before they cast Lou Ferrigno.
Wow.
Yeah, Richard Kiel was originally cast the Incredible Hulk, and he is not in the show. But in the intro of the show, there is one scene where the Hulk is like lifting up a tree or something in the credits, and that's Richard Kiel as the Hulk. It's the only scene they left in there. It's not Ferrigno. It's actually Richard Kiel.
Is he buff?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. He was a big dude.
He was built.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think later in life he wasn't, when he did Happy Gilmore, he wasn't as cut. But in the late '70s when he did Jaws and
Oh okay. He was a bodybuilder? I don't know
if he was a bodybuilder. I think he just took care of himself being a big guy.
Yeah. Lifted.
Yeah. Wow. So And the other lady who plays the other Bond girl, Stromberg's wife.
Oh, yeah.
She was very good, too. And very
Carolyn
pretty.
Monroe.
Yeah, Carolyn Monroe.
And Roger Moore's, like, flirting with her on the
boat.
Right
in front of the other girl who's supposed to be, like, his fake wife. In front of Triple X. Yeah, it's like.
And he just slept with her. He slept with her halfway through the movie. They get on this boat.
Bond throws himself around in this film.
He's a slut.
Yeah.
He is a slut. The Daniel Craig Bonds, the more modern Bonds, it's a little more subtle about the way he goes about it. But Moore's Bond is just like, here it is. Take it if you want.
He's like Shatner, man.
It everywhere. He knows no bounds. And the movie, in that sense, because it is 1977, is male chauvinist to the highest degree.
For real,
It's just like women are objects in this movie. Triple X, she is a strong object, and she has her own ways because she's a KGB agent. But at the same time, Bond doesn't give a shit. He's going to try to get inside her pants.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the thing about this Bond. He never hit a woman like Sean Connery Bond did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and from Russia with Love, he backhanded a woman trying to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is strangely probably the best of the Connery films. But he just backhands out.
Pierce Brosnan fought Xenia Onatopp.
Which was Fopke Jansen. How do you say her name? Fopke?
Yeah. Jean Grey.
She
was the sexiest Bond villain woman. I mean, if I was going to die, I would want to die by a woman squeezing me in between her legs.
I think Barbara Bond was really
villain. Villain.
Well, she
was like a frenemy, I guess.
Well, she has a presence about.
I think Monica the prettiest. I think the prettiest Bond girl, and she's not a very good actress, but
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards, yeah.
Yeah,
she's the prettiest girl to ever be a Bond. Oh, I don't know.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
She doesn't hold a candle.
That movie, both girls, that movie, Sophia Marceau is really pretty too.
Yeah,
but they both don't hold a candle against Famke Janssen
or Monica Bocelli.
Halle Berry.
Monica Bellucci.
Or Bellucci is how you say her last name?
Yeah, Bellucci.
She's really pretty.
She's very pretty. I think she's the oldest Bond girl.
Yeah, she was the oldest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was really good, too.
Oh, well, you know what? I'll concede to Monica Bellucci.
Yeah. Have you ever seen The Brotherhood of the Wolf? You get to see a lot of her in it.
Yeah.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
It's a French action film. You would like
it. You should watch Melina. You really see her in that one. Yeah.
Brotherhood of the Wolf is a good, good movie if you've never seen it.
Is it a werewolf movie?
It's not in that sense. It's like a monster movie.
Oh, okay.
But Brotherhood of the Wolf is excellent. I saw it in theaters. It's really good. It's got Martin Dacascos in it in a small role. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good film. But I think The Spy Loved Me is arguably probably the best of the Moore films. And probably easily and possibly amongst the top 5 to 10.
Bond, you can put this definitely in the top 5.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. The guy who plays Stromberg, Kurt Jurgen. So he plays a villain who steals submarines from an underwater base. And one of his most famous roles happened to be called The Enemy Below, where he plays a German U-boat captain.
I think I've seen
against,
that.
Against Robert Mitchum, who's a USN destroyer captain.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a... And that's Kurt Jurgen. So I was like, okay. So you get the guy who's in the famous submarine movie and put him as a Bond villain in a submarine.
And the whole thing is, that's one part in this movie, though. Like, he never explains. Like, he wants the nuclear war to happen because he wants to create an underwater city. But he never really says how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
He just is going to do it.
Yeah. Plus the same actor, Kurt Jurgen, he's also in The Hunt for Red October.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So he's
a real small part in it, but he's in there. Yeah,
but he's in 3 movies that heavily involve submarines.
Dang.
In the plot. That's kind of funny. I think he's typecast.
Typecast.
We need a submarine guy. Go get the guy who was in that James Bond movie.
Get that German guy, Kurt Jurgens. Yeah.
But good stuff, man. I enjoyed rewatching *Spy Love Me*. It's been a while since I've seen it, and it brought back some childhood memories of the submarine submarine base battle at the end, and Jaws fighting a shark. That's still incredible.
And one fun fact about that boat that housed all the submarines: the director of photography had trouble lighting that base, so he secretly brought in. Stanley Kubrick to consult. Was like, okay, I'm having trouble lighting this base to capture it on film, and I can't figure out how. So Stanley Kubrick helped do the lighting.
Oh, okay.
That base that helped all those captured submarines.
Yeah.
So Stanley Kubrick had a hand in that scene.
The movie.
Yeah.
That was fun. Cool. So what do you guys rank The Spy Who Loved Me?
I give it an A. Easy
A. I'd probably give it A. I might have to say a B+, just a higher B, just because the middle of it drags a bit for me.
Yeah.
Watching it. Yeah. You know, it holds it down just a little bit for me. Cut out some of that middle part, I think you have a tighter movie. But a great opening and a great ending. Some good parts in the middle, just like the part in the middle where he goes to where he first encounters Jaws, all that stuff's really well done.
Yeah.
It's just some of the exposition in this film's a little bit just drags on a little bit for me. But as a kid, I remember enjoying the hell out of it. Jaws is still one of the better Bond villains, I think, out there.
I liked how in the middle of the film it paid homage to Lawrence of Arabia playing the movie theme.
Yeah.
Lawrence of Arabia.
And then initially they were going to kill Jaws off in this film.
Yeah.
But test audiences liked him. So they re-edited the film where it looks like he dies, but not really, and that's why he comes back in Moonraker.
Yeah.
You know, because he was such a popular villain. Well,
they showed him swimming up to the surface.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They do that. So I guess they must have reshot that at the end.
Yeah.
Decided to keep him alive.
Yeah.
Then they brought him back in Moonraker. And in Moonraker, does he get, like, crushed or something by the space shuttle?
No. I think he becomes a good guy and helps Bond.
Oh, that's right. He kind of helps him, but he still gets killed in Moonraker, doesn't he?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it. So, yeah. I'm going to have to rewatch that while it's free on Voodoo. Watch Moonraker.
Because he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
So. Maximilian Schell's character is like, what was it, Hugo Strange? I don't remember. Hugo Drax. That's his
name. Yeah, Hugo Drax.
He's like, we'll have a world where it's only beautiful, perfect people. You know, and Jaws' girlfriend is all, you know, dorky looking, and he's kind of a misfit too, and so that's why he turned good guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I watched Moonraker. I have to watch it. The Spy Who Loved Me.
Good stuff. One more comment about the movie. My favorite, it's still my top, it's my all time favorite Bond song.
Yeah. And it's one of those songs that you hear it, it gets played on like grocery store radios and stuff all the time. You just kind of know the song, but you don't always associate with the movie.
Yeah.
But it's one of those songs that you know, you've heard it before.
Yeah.
It's a pretty classic pop tune, you know, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's catchy and it's simple and it's one of the better Bond songs, I think.
Yeah. To me, it's my personal favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's your favorite Bond? You had to pick one.
I would have to go with Roger Moore, personally. He made his movies were always fun to watch, you know. So don't fall asleep on me.
I grew up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I like Connery, and there's things I like about all of them.
Yeah.
If I could take the debonair of Connery and mix it with the grittiness of Craig, I think you can make like the perfect Bond.
Yeah.
Which I felt like Dalton kind of had that though. You know? But he just didn't stay around long enough to really. That's my thing with Dalton. Like, he only did two films.
Yeah.
He didn't feel like he stayed around long enough.
The directors
enough to really,
didn't like him.
Yeah, he didn't stay around long enough to really do more with the role. Yeah. You know. I thought Pierce started out really well until they went to making him kind of cheesy again.
Yeah.
You know, the first two or three he did were. Well, he did four films, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies,
The World Is Not Enough, and then Die Another Day. So he only did four. Die Another Day is ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is very CG heavy.
Is that the one with the laser?
It's the one with
the laser.
Off laser.
The invisible car.
Yeah. It got really kind of just cheesy.
Yeah.
The tires that reinflate.
I love he had a great Q scene, but on the Russian side. because he's using Russian base to go through. They have all these gadgets too, and Roger Moore has some great one-liners in there as he's walking through there to look at all the gadgets. So you know, I miss those gadget scenes in the new Bond films. They have them a little bit in the Craig films, but not as much. Those are always fun.
Looks like we're gonna get some gadgets based on the trailer we saw.
Well, you want to do some news? Let's do some news. Let's do some news and segue right into the trailer for No Time to Die.
No Time to Die trailer broke.
Yes.
And there's freaking Gatling guns in the headlight sockets.
Of the car. Was that Aston Martin?
And we got to see the new 007.
Was it?
In the trailer. Or the new 00. They didn't say it was 007.
Yeah. 00. She could be 006 like in GoldenEye.
Well, that's taken by Sean Bean.
Yeah.
008?
But I like the trailer, man. I like the fact that there's some continuity to these Bond films. There was some loose continuity with Spectre and Blofeld in the old Connery films, but they weren't as connected as these are.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Christoph Waltz is back in this and connecting it to the last couple of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Craig is a little bit older. Looks like he's been through hell and everything. He's trying to get away from things, but he's brought back in. And they brought back Jeffrey Wright to play his CIA friend in this, it looks like.
Yeah.
I thought the trailer was really good, man. It looks exciting. It looks like another fun Bond adventure. It's Craig's last one, and then the role's going to go to someone else after that.
Yeah.
And but, man, it looks really good. I'm excited for April.
It looks all right. Personally, it's the way it's put together. Yeah.
Just all right.
This is all right.
Just all right.
It was a teaser.
Yeah. It's the first trailer.
To see more.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see more other stuff. What was more other trailers? I was disappointed I didn't get to see the Wonder Woman trailer yet.
This weekend.
Hopefully.
So next week's show we're gonna have the Wonder Woman trailer to talk about and the Ghostbusters Afterlife. It's the official title of the Ghostbusters
scene. Right. Today they released a promo picture
the poster and some pictures. Yeah.
Of Paul Rudd holding the ghost trap.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And the trailer comes out on Monday for Ghostbusters Afterlife. I think that's kind of a cool title.
Yeah. So, let's see how much of the movie Sony spoils.
Right. And well, apparently it's going to be about the legacy of the Ghostbusters. I guess it's about a daughter and her two kids, and they find some Ghostbuster stuff in this old house, and they realize that they're somehow tied to the family in some way, or the Ghostbusters. So I think it's going to bring our original Ghostbusters back for a new adventure. Are you falling asleep over there, Matt?
No, never.
He's nodding off.
I was like dancing.
Like just whack him if he acts up.
It's that polar bear suit, man. It gets hot in that polar bear suit.
Pussy.
I feel like I merchandised for a day. It gets so hot.
You know, I wasn't sure how I felt about a Ghostbusters Legacy sequel, as they call them nowadays, but, man, I'm kind of excited just seeing the promo images now.
Yeah.
And my 4-year-old's super excited, so I think that makes
me excited. Heck yeah, man. More Ghostbusters.
That'll shut
them up.
We also got a trailer for the next Marvel film, Black Widow.
Yeah. I don't understand why you were hating on it.
I didn't say it was hating. I said it just felt generic.
That's still kind of hate.
It's not hate. I didn't say I hated it. But, I mean, it looks cool. I'm trying to figure out how it fits in the continuity, because apparently it takes place either right before or right after Civil War, I guess. I don't know how it's going to fit in. It's
probably going to... a little bit about the Budapest flashback.
Yeah. You know,
the meeting with Hawkeye.
I thought David Harbour looked... Who's he supposed to play? He looked a little ridiculous.
Red Guardian.
Yeah. He looked a little like, oh, I peaked as a Red Guardian, but now's my chance to shine again.
Yeah. And,
I thought that looked funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess Natasha's sister shows up, and some of her former agents from...
Hey, it's that chick from Fighting With My Family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her.
It had kind of a Bourne feel to the trailer in some ways, you know. The free fall shot at the end of the trailer looked kind of cool. You know?
Yeah.
So that part looked cool. But I think it's time, though. You know, Scarlett Johansson's done a good job in the role. Excuse me, and see how she does with her own.
And she's bringing it to a close.
I think it could be a passing of the torch to the blonde Black Widow.
In the
comics, there was a blonde Black Widow for a time.
You see the quick shot, too, of Scarlett in her white outfit? I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just curious where it takes place in the storyline. It looks cool, though. I mean, I'm still going to go see it. I hated the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer a few years ago. Look how that turned out, you know? Sometimes you sometimes people don't know how to cut trailers.
I don't think I remember listening to that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when you first see the trailer, you're just kind of like, eh, I don't know. Yeah. I'll still go see the movie, you know? Sometimes they just don't have good editors to cut the trailers properly, you know? So, I don't know.
No Godzilla vs. Kong trailer either.
Darn.
We also got a trailer already for The Boys Season 2. That hit.
I didn't see that.
Early 20. They started shooting it quick. Yeah, there's a quick trailer. It looks like the boys are back for more action in season two. I still have to finish season one. I have a couple episodes left. So,
how's it going?
I mean, so far so good. I mean, it's a good show. It's not great. I'm not as high as everybody else, but I like it.
Yeah.
Don't pass out there, Matt. God damn, I feel like he's going to fall over and knock the glass and the microphone over.
That would be hilarious.
Give the microphone to BJ.
Ah.
So Zack Snyder, I know we've been talking about this for a few weeks. He's confirmed that Snyder Cut is real. He even posted a picture on his Twitter account. Here's the downside, though.
Oh,
we're not
man.
Getting it anytime soon.
Of course.
He said that that Warner Brothers doesn't want to spend the money. It doesn't have finished effects. He would need a couple million dollars to finish it. My first thought on that was like, wait, Zack, you have a lot of money. Why don't you just finish the film? You know, but I guess he doesn't own all the rights to it. So he would love to do it. And he said the best way to do it is people continue to support it on the internet, and hopefully it gets done. Apparently, it's almost...
People can shut the F apparently up about the, it.
Yeah.
Apparently, his cut is 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, and so maybe one day.
One
I think
day.
It's one of those cases. We never thought we'd ever get a Richard Donner cut of Superman 2, and we finally got it. So I think this will happen one day.
Did you hear about the assembly cut, which is like the raw cut of the film?
Of Justice League?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 4 hours or something.
Five hours long.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm really curious because, I mean, I didn't hate the Justice League movie as much as some people. I enjoyed it for what it was. But I'm really curious to see his cut and what could have been.
Especially with his visual style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope maybe one day Warner Brothers sees the light and puts some money towards this. Maybe they'll make a shit ton of money off of Wonder Woman 1984 and say, here's Zach, have some of our money. Finish your film.
Have him come back.
Disney wouldn't have that problem.
Oh, Disney would have just already let him finish the film.
Yeah.
So, you know. Looks like Fox or Disney is going to continue with Planet of the Apes films. Wes Bell, who made the Maze Runner films, which actually weren't terrible. I watched a couple of Maze Runner
terrible.
Films. They weren't terrible. Is apparently going to write and direct a new Planet of the Apes film. No word yet where it's going to continue the story where we left off in War for the Planet of the Apes.
I hope it's in advance.
I hope so. You know, I hope we get to see Caesar's son and get to see where the society goes.
Yeah.
I see there's no... To me, there's no reason to reboot it. Matt Reeves set them up in a very good situation to continue the franchise from where we left off in War for Planet of the Apes. Yeah. So, it's kind of exciting. And like I said, the Maze Runner films, you have to understand the audience they were geared for. They were geared for teenagers coming off the Hunger Games films. And they weren't terrible movies. So, I think Wes Bell is capable of making a good Planet of the Apes film. And see where he goes with it.
It was an entertaining trilogy.
I never saw the last Maze Runner film, but I saw the first two, and they weren't terrible. So, coming to Disney Plus, we're going to have a Star Wars game show. Legends of the Jedi Temple or something like that is what it's called. With Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks, is going to host the show. I think it's kind of cool, man. You know,
Jar Jar.
Apparently, it's going to have kids run courses and do various force powers and things like that in the show. Do you remember that old Nickelodeon show, Legends of the Hidden Temple? You know, where they had to run through the temple?
Oh, yeah.
That
was cool.
Really cool. That's what this sounds like it's going to be.
You know. And you were like Team Barracuda and stuff like that.
So it could be kind of a cool idea. Because you know what? Someone made a good point today. Take away The Mandalorian was Disney Plus. It's your old VHS collection. And I started realizing that the other day I was clicking through it. There's a lot of great stuff on it, but there's not a lot on it to log in every day, unless you want to watch old movies.
Yeah.
So Disney Plus needs to keep bringing more new stuff. But, you know, it's just launching. We're just getting going.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's cool. But that's all the news I got.
Yeah.
You know, some new trailers and Star Wars game shows and stuff.
Yeah. I'll have more to talk about next week.
Oh, yeah?
For the trailers that I want to see.
Oh, when Wonder Woman and Ghostbusters hit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. But other than that, no, I didn't have any kind of news on my end.
Me neither.
Well, let's preview next week's film. We're going to do something unique and different that we've never done before. We're going to do a movie that all three of us haven't seen.
Yeah.
And so this will be a first watch for all of us. Something we've never done on the show before, ever.
Watch a movie we've never seen before.
Yeah. And so we're going to do Train to Busan.
shortly.
Excuse me.
That woman does not seem right to me.
Requesting medical assistance in car number 11.
What the?
Get back! Get back, all of you! Shut the door!
This summer.
Sweetie, please stay right here, okay?
Nobody's here.
Please help me.
Get back! Move! Hurry up, kids!
We have to depart right now!
No, we can't leave yet!
Busan Station is still open. We should all go there right now!
The whole nation runs into danger.
Which car?
Car number 13, and please hurry!
Should you stay alive?
After the tunnel.
Now! Are you even aware of what we are faced with?
Get on board now.
Why did you? We could have saved them.
This train simply can't go any further.
Train to Busan, coming soon.
The famous
Train to Busan.
Semi-famous zombie horror movie that's on Netflix from the director of Parasite that's in theaters right now and making a lot of raves and stuff, saying it's going to be Oscar nominated. So I don't know exactly what this film is about. I've read things about it and people say it's really cool. I know the director has kind of a strange name to say, Boong Young Sing or something like that. Mm. I probably totally butchered his name.
You did better than I.
But I have seen Snowpiercer that he directed, and I really enjoyed Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to watching this. So we are taking a chance. We had all the movies planned out to episode 181, our 100th film, except for next week. We didn't really have planned out. So we decided right before we recorded today, hey, let's do this show.
Might as well.
Do this movie. Fuck it. Whatever. We'll go for it.
Go for it.
So, that's next week on the Rebel Radio Podcast. Train to Busan. Watch it on Netflix to watch along with us.
Choo-choo.
I believe it's on Netflix and Amazon Prime. I think it's available on most streaming services.
Could be.
Choo-choo.
Yeah. What? Just because it's train?
Yeah.
And so that's on next week's episode of the show. And as always, go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Join our Patreon. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all those good things. We haven't done much with our YouTube channel lately, but if you're into YouTube, the episodes do post to YouTube for you to listen to. And maybe we'll create new YouTube content in 2020. I don't know. Remember we did those fun YouTube commercial videos?
Those were fun.
Maybe we'll do some more of those.
Gotta do some more of those.
So we appreciate you all listening. Go to therebelradiopodcast.com. We gotta get out of here before Matt falls asleep on the show.
Yeah.
He's about to nod off, gonna knock everything over. But thanks as always for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Hidden Man.
Until next time, just hide from Long. And just go
there and do it.
And do it.
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.